listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And welcome to Spirit of Life for September 23rd, 2015. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly.
And welcome.
And I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
September good evening. Glad to be back again this week.
I'm Dr. Doug Kelly.
And welcome.
Yes, it's good to be back again this week.
Sorry. I had two thoughts collide in my head. It's the first day of autumn.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to say that. It is the equinox, I believe, right? Correct.
I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but I look it up. It can vary.
Apparently,
but anyway, go ahead.
No, apparently it's the 23rd. For the way the planets have aligned, ordinarily I would think 21st myself, but that's the way it is. So happy first day of autumn.
Yeah, it was even cooler here a little bit this morning. Anyway, welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly service, which is an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. And we're going to forego our abbreviated principles of belief this week because we had some technical stuff going on prior and I'm not ready. So we're going to pass it along. But if you'd like to know more about our principles of belief, they're easily found at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And I know I'd like to welcome those who are in the chat room listening to the live program. We appreciate your time. And one of the technical problems we were having is the player didn't want to seem to play for us on the page where it's embedded. If you click on the play and it takes you to another page. Would you, if you're in the chat room, would you let us know if that happened to you or if you're on the broadcast page where the chat room is or if it took you to another page to actually play this broadcast? I'd like to know. It'll help us to troubleshoot what should be going on here. So anyway, we appreciate that. Tonight we're going to be talking about mindful expansion. We did this last week. It seems to seem to have worked well. Our program will probably last around 30 minutes tonight. So what we're going to do is go to our inner oracle self-discovery card deck. And Dr. Hunter.
The inner oracle.
Yeah.
We should have music to that.
We should. These cards are self-discovery cards. They're not tarot cards. They're just designed to get you thinking, to provoke you to thought, maybe even disturb you to positive action. And so we're going to pull some cards randomly, and we're going to talk about what that might mean. And if you would like a card pulled for you, we'll do that after just a little bit. Just let us know in the chat room, and we'll be happy to do that. So without any further ado, Dr. Hunter.
Well, the first card that I just drew is Balance and Order. It's number 8 in the Life Leadership Paragon and Self-Completeness. So Balance and Order is our first topic of discussion. So do you want to start on that one, Dr. Kelly? Or
Balance and Order. Well,
read from the book.
You can read the thoughts, then I'll expand where I feel necessary.
Well, when you draw this... when you draw this card, this is what it's going to tell you. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present, or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its present proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So balance and order is just simply when things are feeling a little bit chaotic, it just means that they are out of order and we can get a new perspective by how we think and how we view things. And really it just comes down to getting back, in my view, getting back into your body, being present in the moment, and finding that inner balance. So does that make sense to you, Dr. Kelly?
Yeah, and the face value is balance and order, right?
That's correct. It is.
Okay. So balance and order. So obviously, as the the guidebook said that adversity is a state of disorder. You know, I haven't heard that anywhere else, but that's exactly what adversity is. So if you're going through adversity, it just means things are not in their proper order. One of our students, Andrea, posted in the One Planet community that we have for students and church members today. She posted a little picture and basically said, you know, sometimes one of the things like things are falling apart, it's just that they're falling into place. And I thought that was a great thought. Sometimes we think things are falling apart, but maybe they're just falling into place. So it basically gets you thinking that the problems that we have, the adversity, it's a state of disorder, but it can also be because we're not comfortable with it. But it could be something that needs to change anyway. It could be evolutionary, you know, growing pains, so to speak. So balance and order, we have to keep that, maintain balance and order in our lives. And if we do, life will just go a little bit smoother.
Well, and that leads right into our next card that I just picked out, which is Think for Yourself, number 22. You know, it just makes sense, doesn't it? When you finding that balance and order, like if things are out of order, you have to acknowledge that and then think for yourself. Don't go with the popular vote, in other words. You know,
well, necessarily.
Well, it, you know, we're always surrounded by a lot of, I think everyone can attest to this, we're surrounded by a lot of opinions from a lot of people about a lot of stuff. So the thinking for yourself is understanding your own mind and bringing yourself closer to that honesty and self-responsibility. And I did just take that from the passage. And it's, don't sacrifice your own identity for someone else's identity. So I think that that's really important to do, listen to your own truth. So as you are putting things back into order, listen to that inner voice and be, you know, be correct with you. That's how I see them.
And that point of maintaining your own identity is a huge point. I think it was Mark Twain that said something to the effect of, don't make somebody else a priority when they've only made you their option. And a lot of folks that, you know, could bear to think about that a little bit. We need to maintain our own identity, even if we're in a relationship with, you know, married partner, whatever it is. We need to maintain our own identities. Doesn't mean we don't have a lot in common with them, but part of that maintaining your own identity means growing on your own. You can have different interests. You don't have to have all the same. And it also means some space. You know, at times we need our space. We need our downtime. And we need our space at times. So there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean just because you need a little space, go off and do something, doesn't mean you love them less or anything. It just means you need your space. You know, that's what we do as humans. We need a little bit of space now and then.
Well, if we're going to be consistent in telling a story with pulling three cards together, then this next card fits in perfectly. And the attitude and disposition, which is number 44. So, you know, balance and order, think for yourself, attitude and disposition. I'll just read straight from the passage here. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative, of course. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's a good flow. If we look at, you know, very often we do this if we're doing, let's say, a little session with ourselves or somebody else and choosing three cards, you know, the situation as it is, you know, energy unfolding and the best possible outcome. But it's also telling a story. It's triggering our consciousness into thinking a little bit differently or reminding us in some way to think a little differently. So attitude and disposition, you know, we're all self-responsible that way. And, you know, Dr. Kelly and I were having a little discussion earlier that a deep sense of spirituality and knowing yourself, that self-awareness is critical in going through changes in your life and being able to be present. So, you know, again, staying in balance, you know, that's always a key. You know, I'm just going to shuffle up these cards again.
Yeah, let me make my comments before you pull another one, though.
Please do.
On think for yourself and how hard can it be, those are huge things. Those are how hard can it be? You know, sometimes we hear people saying that's too hard. I'm not educated enough. I'm not smart enough, whatever. And my response to that, and I've said this probably 100 times on this program, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do something. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do something. How hard can it be? We can't allow ourselves that escape or that crutch or that shirking from responsibility that can happen by saying that's just too hard. Well, you know, if it's worth doing, then it's worth doing it and not giving up. If it's worth doing. Now, if it's not worth doing, then don't worry about it. Who cares whether you do it or not? But if it's something that's valuable to you, if it's worth it, if you see benefits to it, then do it. Make it happen. And that's such a huge, huge point for people who are successful. They don't lay around saying that's too hard. They go and find a way. They make it happen. How do you think this is even working? How do you think the church happened? How do you think the schools happened? How do you think the new school's happening? You know, there's a lot of work to this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of detail to this stuff. And I made it happen. And I'm proud of myself for that. And not everybody does this. So if you've got something on your plate that you think you want and you want to make it happen, then go do it. You know, do whatever research you need to do. Learn what you need to learn. You know, talk to whoever you need to talk to. But find a way if it's worth doing. And this also goes for those of my students who are going through the program. Stuff comes up in life, students. Yes, it does for everybody. But don't let that hold you back. You know, if you've got something that's come up in your life I've just got a message. I don't know if it's critical or not. Let me look. It's not. Okay. If you've got something come up in your life, whether it's sickness, illness, there's death of loved ones, there's work, maybe you lost a job, maybe you're working too much, whatever the reason is, you know, if you want your degree, make it happen. Doesn't mean you have to do it all in one night or one day or one week or one month. You just work at it. Make some progress. Make it happen. Because it's for you. It's not for us. It's for you. It's for your own self-respect, your own sense of accomplishment. And that's all I have to say on that.
Well, I think that, you know, we attend an event when it's important to us. You know, you'll drive through a snowstorm to get there if you have to, but if it's important. And if your school is important to you, we know it is. It's just how important. So everything has this measure of priority, I think. And so how hard can it be? Well, we all do have busy lives and we do prioritize, but when it's important to you, you'll do it. I believe that totally.
Well, good. So,
all right. Are we ready?
Next? We're ready. We're wherever you want is next. I know we have one request to get to whenever.
Well, okay. Good. Then let's do that. I see it's Zach in the chat room. So, all right, Zach. I got one for you. I think you had this one before. I think if I remember correctly, unknowable number 4 in the wild card section, that suit. There are mysteries in the universe. Boy, isn't that the truth.
Huh.
Not all can be known or predicted, and that's a fact. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. And that's true, too. Remember, we only see what we know and what we believe. Now, I'm going to say that again. We only see what we know, and that's by our frame of reference. We look for things in life based on how our brain already works and based on our experiences. So we have to open that up. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable, and remain flexible and open to change. You know, I'd like to, for everyone else listening, I'd like to add a little bit to that. Whenever we're in, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, when things feel out of order or there's a little bit of chaos, we're looking for answers based on our frames for reference. You know, we look for what is the next step. And we sometimes we're, you know, very single-minded about how things are supposed to go. And then we want control. Well, some things, when they're out of control, means reordering is to be open-minded about what the other options are. And that's what this particular symbol means. Unknowable is to open our frames of reference and be observant. And I think that's a key factor, is to be observant of the world, be observant to, I'm not going to say watch for the signs, because we don't, we're going to interpret those subjectively too. But there are things that are outside our frames for reference that we can access if we are flexible in our view. So we don't always like what we see. We don't always like that because it's uncomfortable. But then you make the changes. Dr. Kelly?
And those are all good points. I know we had that card last week. We pulled that same card. And so hopefully those points are of value to Zach or anyone else who's listening for that matter. And speaking of that, I'd like to pull a card for the world. I'd let you pull it, but I'd like us to pull a card for the world.
Absolutely.
So get that world consciousness. I do, but they're not handy, so you pull one. But I want to get in that consciousness frame, the world consciousness.
You'll love it.
World consciousness.
You'll love it. You'll love this. Self-mastery, number 7. Self-completeness. Now, the life leadership paragon, for those who might be new in our listening audience, the self-completeness is Dr. Kelly's frame in the life leadership paragon, and it really consists of 3 things: self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. You put that together and you're self-complete, which is in its essence about self-mastery. Do you want to go ahead, Dr. Kelly?
When you pulled that card, I just realized, you know, it hit me that, yeah, if this world would master itself, if the individuals in this world would simply work towards self-mastery, they would be involved with working on them, improving themselves, and not killing one another, not hurting others. And so self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will synergistically create self-completeness. That's all the life leadership paragon. And here's the cool thing, folks. This is the basis of life leadership coaching. And this ties into the card we pulled earlier. When you have adversity, it's because something is out of its proper order. So the whole objective to the life leadership paragon is to restore order and balance to your life leadership paragon. The one thing that will cure about anything that ails you is taking your power back. Reclaiming who you are, taking your power back, walking your own path, not living somebody else's life for them or living it through them, but living your own life. And so when we take our power back, we protect our boundaries, we grow, we stand on 2 feet. And when we look at the life leadership paragon, we always start with self-acceptance. Almost everybody needs a self-esteem boost. Everybody could use one. And we have to improve our self-concept. And there are ways to do that. You know, we don't compare ourselves with others. We do the best we can. If there's an area where we need to improve, we learn what we got to learn and we make those improvements. We understand that we don't denigrate ourselves. We're perfect just the way we are and we're getting better every day. Mistakes are part of human nature. So what? You make a mistake, welcome to the human race. Now, you know, learn the lesson, go make amends if you have to, but move forward, you know, guilt-free. Don't look back. So the biggest area there is we all need a self-esteem boost, or most people do. All right, so you look at self-acceptance as the first one. Now let's jump to respect for free will. That's the third point. That's the next most common one, because most people are always trying to change or control things they should, specifically other people. And the biggest way that manifests is in trying to give them unsolicited advice. And this includes parents with adult children. So the point is, you got to respect free will. You have to respect your own free will. You have to respect their free will. If you respect other people's free will, you don't try to change or control them. You let them be who they are. If who they are, you can't accept who they are, that's fine. You're not in a relationship with them, period. Easy. It's done. Okay, but you got to respect that free will. You respect your own free will, too. That means Watch your boundaries. Guard your boundaries. Protect them. So you got self-acceptance back to its proper order. You got self-respect back to its proper order. Guess what else just kind of falls into place naturally? It's self-responsibility. Because if I have a good self-concept, that means I'm taking a proper and healthy responsibility for myself. If I respect other people and their right to be who they are, and I'm not trying to change them, then I'm not assuming responsibility for them or trying to. That means I have a healthy sense of responsibility for them. So now all three of those are far more in balance, and then they move, they interact, and they generate synergistically that self-completeness, that ability to be complete within yourself and not, quote, need somebody else to help you, to complete you. That's self-completeness, self-actualization. So that's the life leadership paragon. That's self-mastery. And if everyone was focused on that, do no harm, do right, this world would vastly improve. And if you're hearing this, and you may have heard it before, but if you haven't applied what I just said, try it. Try it. Because the life leadership paragon is an elegant, brilliant model for improvement in about any area you want to improve in. You gotta start with you, and that's what that does. It also leads into the thought of pantheism, but I'm gonna break for a moment to let Dr. Hunter say anything she might want to follow up with.
Well, the pantheistic thinking is right in line, in my view, with self-completeness. And, you know, you made a really key point there. You don't need something outside yourself, like honoring a god or something, you know, some kind of something outside yourself. It's within you. And the pantheistic thinking is that we're all connected with that same energy in universally, but also, you know, take it down to every other level. You know, I always say that there's four laws: the spiritual law, and we have physical laws, and we have my brain just went, but you know, we have, yeah. I know we have these laws that if we follow them and understand that it's all that universal law and that we're all connected through nature and otherwise, that's pantheism essentially. That it's not a matter of something being better, greater. It's that we're all connected. And a pantheist, and I have believed myself to be a pantheist for as long as I can remember, even in my days of trying to understand religion, because I always believed inside of myself that we're connected. So, and that's my explanation of pantheism, but other people might take it just to the place of nature. A pantheist would be someone who believes that we're all connected to nature. I think it's greater, bigger, more. And we're all, in some ways, we're all the same, but, you know, we're different expressions of that universal energy. And, you know, there's another question Dr. Wilson has asked in, you know, in the chat room: are you suggesting that free will also implies free to make choices? You know, this is the really interesting thing about consciousness and, you know, giving a message to the world, is that we're absolutely free to make choices. The state of Earth is because of choices. We hope that we're making choices that are, you know, good for ourselves, but good for others. And again, that pantheistic view that we're all connected. You know, what I do to others, I do to myself. What I do to myself, I am doing to others. And it's all connected. So, you know, we can certainly take self-mastery to all kinds of levels to understand that we also have boundaries. And it's something that distresses me terribly when I, in my counseling work, was when people say, what about unconditional love? And I said, well, that is a
big distinction. Don't go too far off on that one yet. Hold on to that thought, because I want to comment on what has already transpired.
Right.
Then we'll talk. Be happy to talk about unconditional love.
Yes, well,
because Vicki, I have unconditional love for you. All right.
Well, but as long as I don't hit you.
Right, but we'll talk about that in a second, because I want to comment on pantheism and free will. So what you said about pantheism is very true. If you think about it, to our listening audience, everything is star material. Everything comes from stars. And I've had students who says, oh, I don't know if that's true. I've never heard that before. Well, okay, don't believe me. Go do your own research. Everything comes from star stuff. Everything is the stuff of stars. Everything. So we're connected in one way or another. I mean, we could be connected in by the fact that we're all made from the same stuff. That's one point of connection. So pantheism is just that. We're all connected. You know, everything is God, and God is in everything. There's no sentient individual named God who is responsible. Does that mean there's not a creator? Heck, I don't know. That's beside the point. We don't know what that is. But now segueing into free will, we, as pantheists, as people who feel that we're all connected, yeah, we have the free will to make whatever choices that are on our menu. I can't fly like Superman because that choice is not on my menu. But to a reasonable extent, I can do about anything I want. I can make a plane and fly, but I can't fly like Superman. It's not on the menu. So we have to keep that in mind, because, you know, the determinists, the materialists are saying, well, there's no such thing as free will, which is a whole philosophical debate. And I understand there are gray areas, but by and large, we can choose to be who we want to be. We can choose our attitude in any set of circumstances, as Viktor Frankl said in Man's Search for Meaning, and we can choose to be us and be good. And so that's that point. Now we talk about unconditional love. And Dr. Hunter, go ahead.
Well, it was just a segue for me when we're talking self-mastery. You know, when people say, what is it to love yourself? Well, of course, it's to regard the self. And, you know, as the Life Leadership Paragon says, it's about self-acceptance. Know who you are. And then that respect for free will. I have free will. So do others. But we have to also consider, you know, do no harm, do right. You know, which is part of self-responsibility. And it all intertwines beautifully to understand that love in this human form has a condition. We live in conditions. I can love you deeply, but I cannot let you hit me. That is a exactly. condition. And I can, to me, that unconditional love is that spiritual love that was part of what I was saying in that pantheistic approach and ways of thinking that we're all star material. You know, we are all connected. I love that, and I'm connected to that love. But we live in a world where our responsibility is to understand the condition of love. What will we decide love to be? How will we decide it to act? You know, that is all part of the doing right. So this is where, are we free to make choices? Absolutely. Do we have free will? Absolutely. I think, though, we're also interacting with energies all the time. So it's how we are responsible in interacting with that from a loving place. You know, I think we talked a little bit about that last week or the week before about sometimes it doesn't feel like love when you're doing the right thing, but it's coming from the heart and knowing that we have a correction. We're in a state of affairs that, you know, corrections need to be made, and it comes from deep within yourself to in your consciousness, in your conscience, if you will. And I think it just boils down to, how do you want love to act? It's that simple.
Good points. And, you know, like the whole concept of perfection is just a fantasy, the one we all grew up with. You know, it's like, so is unconditional love. There is no such thing as unconditional love. I mean, a lot of people say God has unconditional love. Really? Unless you cross him, then you're going to burn in hell. That's not unconditional love. So there really is no such thing as unconditional.
Don't you love the contradictions, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, come on. You know, there's conditional, unconditional love, but it's not anything as such as unconditional love. It's just one of those things that sound so sweet and nice on paper, and it looks so good on paper, but in practical reality, it's a fantasy. There is no such thing because, you know, you just can't tolerate somebody hitting you or taking advantage of you or treating you poorly. I'm sorry. I'm not going to remain in a relationship with somebody who does not respect me like I respect them. So, good
points.
You know,
I would like to take the notion of we're perfect in another way. This moment is a perfect result of everything that's gone into this moment. And the state of affairs is a perfect reflection of every decision that's gone into that moment, you know. So we talk about perfection of the laws of cause and effect. We can take this scientifically. Cause and effect, action, reaction. If we're looking at things that we don't like, which is what we've been talking about, you know, even from chaos in the beginning, if we're looking at things that we don't like, it's because of what went into that moment. And if we don't like that moment, we have to change our view in order to correct and make it a little bit better. And that's the whole point of our work. That's what we do and we've devoted our life to. And we have to be as much of a living example of that as possible. So self-mastery, which is what we were talking about in the beginning, is understanding, it's like understanding who I am and what I am. And in the what of my am-ness, if there is such a thing, is that I have to be totally responsible for every thought and emotion and respect that I'm in a human experience and that we're interacting with life at so many different levels all of the time. So I act as freely as I can within the boundaries of this condition. So that's my little speech added in there.
That's those are great points, and as always. And so we've kind of come toward to the end of our program again for another night. It kind of went fast. We'll be back to the end of probably won't be back next week. We're going to take the fifth week of the month off as we used to do. So we won't be here next week, but the first week in October we will. And we're also going to adjust the time slot for this program. We used to do it at 10 o'clock Eastern time. That seemed to work out pretty well for a lot of people. And we're doing it at 7:30 Eastern, which is 4:30 Pacific, and a lot of people can't join us. So if you have any serious issues with that time, I'd love to hear. You can just email me at admin@icmhchurch.org. But one thing I wanted to say to everybody real quick is that, look, the good, great points we discussed tonight. If you're down, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, stand up tall, lift your head. You can do this. Their hope is not lost. Trust in yourself. Believe in yourself. Balance, you know, take your power back, and you will. It will get better. Restore order and balance to who you are, and life will improve. So we appreciate everyone's time joining us, those on the archives as well. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a good night.
Good night.